Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
We are back. We want to thank Sarah Albee for being on. You don't need those, huh? You take those right off. Oh, they look good.
I kind of like them on.
All right, leave them on. Joining us in studio is a celebrity chef, Linky Murray. It's been a while since you've been here.
It's been a while, but I've been a little busy, and apparently you have too.
We all have. We'll actually go around the room. Joe's been busy. Joe is somebody who's a local person in the when it comes to seawalls and the flood insurance.
Coastal issues.
And Stu, of course, you know Stu, who is a busy hombre.
Always busy.
And Ryan, we have Ryan behind the glass. Ryan, you're going to come in and try some of this stuff, right? Ryan's big on this stuff, so Ryan's going to come in too and say hello for a moment. So, where have you been? Well, you've been traveling lately.
Well,
where are you getting back from?
I just got back from Gulf Shores, Alabama. I mean, I absolutely love it. I caught my first fish. How cool is that? It was a redfish. It was huge. If you've missed the pictures, I mean, just go to my Twitter and Facebook. I mean, that thing was, and it was delicious. We grilled it that night.
On the green egg?
No, I didn't have the big green egg there, but we did grill it.
I do.
It was so much fun. I had buck fever after I caught that thing. You know, when you go hunting and you shoot something cool or whatever, like a deer or something, you get the shakes afterwards because it's just so intense. I had that when I pulled that fish out of the water.
How big was it? Did they weigh it?
It was this big. Are you really asking a girl how big the fish was? I don't know. It was huge.
It was definitely big. Now, You were there not to fish, but you were there for Oyster Fest.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Alabama has great seafood overall, and it was just so much fun. I think there were thousands and thousands of people there. I did a spicy tequila oyster, which was pretty delicious. I did a butter chipotle or chipotle butter compound, slapped it on the oyster, grilled it, and then the moment it came off, I hit it with some tequila and splashed it with some cilantro, and it was pretty good. It was good. So yeah, I just flew back in yesterday.
Wow. And now, where were you before that? Before that, you're doing what?
Where was I?
Because every time I turn around,
my weeks are running together.
Off somewhere.
I think it was Taste of Atlanta. I think that was that. I can't remember. I need my schedule in front of me to remember. But Taste of Atlanta, yeah, which was another fun event. There were so many different restaurants, great people, great food. I think that was
Taste
before
of
that.
What was the most memorable thing that you tasted during it? Or is it impossible to pin down one thing?
It's impossible to pin it down. And I'm telling you, when I'm at these events, I'm so busy cooking myself, which I did a Mediterranean surf and turf on the Big Green Egg. And I usually have to sit down late at night and have crackers just to get through my day. Because it's busy. It's busy. Mm. But I did have, I'm trying to think, I had amazing oysters. This one restaurant did some oysters that they filled with Prosecco. And I can't remember what exactly it was, but it was just delicious. It was really good.
And have you become a big NASCAR fan this summer?
Oh, absolutely. But I've been not a huge fan, but I'm getting into it more. My first NASCAR experience was with Mario Batali back in school. We got to cook with Mario Batali for all the pit crew and the drivers, which I had no idea who everybody was. I walked up, we got pit passes, and I walked up to this one guy and because I said, oh, that's Casey Mears. You need to get your picture taken with him. So I walk up bobbling. Here comes this blonde. I get there, and I'm like, there's two guys sitting there. I'm like, hi, can I please get my picture taken with you? And he goes, that's Casey, pointing at the other guy. So that was interesting. And then Richmond was awesome with Big Green Egg. It was simply amazing. I mean, you've got these cars flying in at, like, I don't know, so many miles an hour.
Maybe more.
Richmond's a fast track. I love Richmond.
Oh, it was
He's
it
a
was
big NASCAR
cool.
guy, right?
Huge. Oh, huge.
Oh, awesome. No, it's great. Yeah. I mean, once you get into it, you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's like, nyow, nyow. Yeah. And it was like deafening.
How's that going?
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Joe, do you have a question?
No, I was just, I mean, I'm not even going to get into NASCAR talk because we could be here all night doing that. But what, what are some of the new dishes that you've kind of, you know, you have done within the last couple months? You know, have you like come up with something that you've done, you've cooked more often than, you know, other things? Is there kind of a signature dish that you've started to work on?
I mean, I have several that people love when I'm at these events. Of course, you know, everybody loves my lamb. They love when I cook my lamb because I do a dried fruit chutney with it, which is very rustic and it's very South African. So they love that. My Mediterranean surfer turf is great because I use all these fresh herbs, you know, oregano and rosemary and thyme and capers and all that great stuff, cumin. But then also one of the things I've been doing is baking on the eggs. So I've come up with great pizza recipes, cumin, asparagus, bacon, and brie pizza, which is absolutely, it's pretty good. And then my bread puddings always gets, you know, big reviews. So, well, and I have so many different ones that I do. And if you bake it on the bigger egg, it's like, it just has this smoky flavor and it's delicious. Well,
is it the big green egg going to be something that you're going to pull out for Thanksgiving? Because that's right around the corner.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this year I'm going to smoke a turkey.
Smoke a turkey?
Oh, it's really good. You inject it with some bourbon barbecue sauce or some deliciousness.
Keep it moist.
Keep it nice and moist. You could brine. A lot of people brine their turkeys before they smoke it. I like to just inject it with flavor. Inject it with flavor. But you have to be cautious because a lot of people, they try to inject it with alcohol and it breaks down the meat some. So just be cautious when you do that. And then give it a nice dry rub. Give it another spritz of something while it's smoking. And it's really good. I actually do like smoked turkey.
See, with all this cooking that you do, it seems like it's almost like 365 days a year. I would think that you'd want a break for Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. I mean, cooking is my stress relief. A lot of people have therapists. I have my chef knife. I don't need a break.
As long as you're using it on food and on your husband.
Well, my hubby's gained some weight since we've been married, so he's not complaining. You know, it's one of those things where he used to do the grilling, and now I do it, and now we argue over who gets to do the ribs. It gets intense. Let me tell you something.
Really? Does it really come down to who gets to be in front of the grill, huh?
It's awful. It's awful. It's like dead out fights over who gets to grill. It's like, okay, fine, you get to do this now, I'll get to do this later. So for Thanksgiving, where actually he's going to smoke the ribs, I'm going to smoke the turkey. So it's a win-win.
So what's the spread like in you know, your house? What is it like for Thanksgiving? What are some of the things, how do you get ready for Thanksgiving? Do you have a traditional way of doing things?
No, actually, we don't, because I'm from South Africa and I've immigrated. Thanksgiving is a fairly new thing to me, and it's a great holiday.
It's like a new toy, then.
It's a new toy, exactly. Well, and the thing about it is as a new American, because we became citizens a year and a half ago.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's one of those things where you explore the traditions, but I always try to stick with traditions some, but then find new ways of reinventing things. So, you know, for example, people, you know, serve the cranberry sauce or cranberry jelly with their turkeys. I do my cranberry chutney. You know, and I smoke my turkey instead of doing it. But we usually get together with other South Africans, and we usually just go over all the things that we're thankful for in the United States. I mean, just as immigrants, we're really living our American dream. Absolutely.
Sure. Link, you talk about the new traditions, and one new tradition I've been following you is home gating. Can you tell us a bit about home gating and what it means to you and what it's all about?
Home gating touches base on everything outdoor entertainment. I mean, you have all these great holidays in the U.S., 4th of July, and you have, you know, Father's Day, and you have all the great football and baseball traditions. So if you don't have time, or if you can't get out to the you know, parking lot to tailgate, you basically throw your own party in your own backyard. A lot of people are getting into the cooking scene, and they really want to just entertain and have fun with that. So home gating is basically doing that, going out in your backyard, entertaining, having great friends and food, and watching ball games or celebrating some great holiday.
And I imagine there's some videos they can watch to find out how to home gate that you're putting together.
Well, I have lots of videos on YouTube. I don't know what all's out there. Just go and explore. And if you have any questions, text me or don't text me.
No.
Tweet me.
Tweet you, or also find you on your Facebook, not only Facebook, but on your website.
On my website, yes. My website is very easy, livinglinky.com. I will say, right now, I get a little overwhelmed with Facebook every once in a while. So the easiest or the fastest way to reach me is via Twitter.
Now, do you have time to blog still on your website?
I do, and I have signed with a PR company in the meantime, and they're starting to help me with some of taking care of some of that. So.
And what, helping you kind of get out there more? I mean, you're somebody who, I mean, you're seen everywhere, and you're so known in the cooking community, you know.
Yes, well, I mean, it's hard for me to gamble everything. It's like, you know, you after a certain point, you're like, oh, okay, I need some help or an assistant or something. So that's what
another
we're doing.
Limb.
Yeah, but we're in the process of revamping my website, so that will launch pretty soon, and then after that I've come up with some good content, some web content, and that'll launch along with it. So I'm going to get a little bit more of a handle on it on this in the new year.
Now folks know you from being on the Next Food Network Star, season 8. I'm surprised I haven't seen you on any of these Top Chef or any of them. I mean, are they doing Top Chef Boston? Or they did Top Chef Boston. How come Linky didn't get a call to be a judge? You're due to be a judge on one of these shows.
That would be fun if I had time. No, all I can say about that is stay tuned. Stay tuned. You never know.
So you wouldn't say no to it. Go ahead.
Speaking of a Next Food Network star, you were down in Alabama with your co-season competitors Marty and Emily and Michelle and so forth. When you're on the show, it's a big competition. You're fighting with these people for a job, for a show, for fame.
Yeah.
And how much of it is that competition, and how much of it is a bonding experience for you with them that lasts for years?
Well, that was actually one of the challenges, is because, you know, I'm such a people person. I love to make friends as I go. And it's actually one of the things that crippled me slightly when I was on the show. I think if I do it again, I would be much more, like, get out of my face. Not really, but much more. I'm just kidding. Much more competitive. I mean, it's kind of like the thing, you know, I used to do pageants, and you walk in there, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be nice to everybody, but when it comes down to game time, you're going to bring your ball game. So after the show, you know, still, there's people that I made great friends with that will be friends for life. And then there's other people that you just, you know, you hang out with them, you communicate and everything. But at the end of the day, we're all still fighting for the same goal and the same dream. So some of us just, you know, we let business be business and friendship be friendship. So that's the best way of looking at that.
Cool.
It definitely is cool. And how many people, as far as other shows, other than the one show, do you find yourself cross-pollinating with other chefs from the Boston and the New York and the Rhode Island area?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where you meet fellow chefs and you exchange recipes and you talk food. And it's been great to connect with some of the people from this past season on Food Network Star and the people before them. And, you know, they seem to reach out to you and say, hey, what do I expect in experiences like this? And that's great because you've already been there. You know the no's and the yeses. And that makes it a lot of fun. But just overall, when you go to these events and you hang out with chefs, it's usually a great connecting point, is you know, all the drama that happens in the kitchen.
Well, speaking of what happens in the kitchen, you actually have some stuff here before you. Tell folks what you actually have here that Joe and Ryan and Stu are going to have a chance to sample.
Well,
Kevin.
Who's going to be the facilitator of this?
Well, one of my favorite things to eat is salami and stinky cheeses. And so today...
Joe, that describes you, stinky cheese.
And
okay.
It's been quite a...
Never mind. I won't say what I was going to say. Continue.
Y'all are so bad.
We just like to tease each other. Joe's a good friend.
I love it. No, so I haven't had supper yet, so I thought I'd bring supper to you. I have some sopressata. I have some sartorias. Actually, it's a great cheese. I've got some extra aged goat cheese. I have a Merlot cheese that's absolutely delicious. Oh, you just pulled up. And then I have a balsamic cheese. I have some fig preserve, some mustard, some hot sauce, raspberries, bread with you know, great little olive oil and spices into it, and then of course the red wine to go with that.
Wow. And does it matter that you have a red as opposed to a white wine?
Nope, that's just my personal preference.
Okay.
Now, I mean, in the summertime, I usually love to do white, crisp, dry wines. But, you know, in fall, it's a little chilly out there. It's going to get chilly tonight. So a good cab will go great with all of these flavors. It will balance them out perfectly and complement them. So I've got a cab Sauvignon planned tonight.
All right. So what are you going to do now? So are you gonna make something, or do you want to have these guys kind of sample it and try
it? No,
it
y'all
out?
Just sample. Here, this is already open.
Ryan,
y'all sample
if you
some.
Will.
I have some bread and some cheese. What usually in wine pairings and beer pairings, the great way to do is you smell the wine, you smell the food before you eat it, and then you just let the food kind of melt in your mouth, and then try to taste the wine again, and it just really brings out the flavor of the wine and the food.
Did you get that, Joe?
I think I can follow those instructions.
Eat and drink. It's nothing to it.
Be merry. You're going to add that in there, too. Eat, drink, and be merry. Again, we have Linky Murray, who is a celebrity chef, who is here. We haven't had her here on the show in some time, so as she's actually kind of doing a little bit of a... you're putting something up on Twitter, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. This is going on Twitter right here. Let's do a selfie.
So we're all kind of...
Get in here, Stu.
Hanging. Stu, get in here. As you see, we're all kind of in the background as she's taking a little stuff to put this on Twitter.
Yeah, this is called a Aussie now.
You know, it's an Aussie, right.
That's a new thing.
Right,
like,
I'm surprised you didn't get in here.
Aussie. He's like, I'm just here for the food.
He is.
So yes, so that's what I've been up to. I'm headed to Savannah Food and Wine, and what day is today? Monday. So
Monday
Wednesday. Wednesday, I'm headed to Savannah Food and Wine, and then I'm very excited because I actually got in as a top 10 judge at the World Food Championship on Sunday. So,
what does that entail to be in the World Food Championships? I mean, that
I have no idea. It's my first year.
Really? I mean, did they kind of give you a breakdown as to what you'd be doing, or is that something you'll get the day you get there?
I mean, I've gotten an email, but I haven't checked everything yet. But I'm sure, you know, it's just going to be sampling food and getting to see, you know, what you think about it. So.
Are you already thinking of how you'll be a judge for something like that? I mean, do you think of the competition you were in and how those judges were? Do you put any stock into that, Joe?
Thanks, Joe. Yes, I mean, I can always empathize with the chefs because it's competition and
you've been there
and done that. But it's a stressful thing to actually put your food on a plate and expect people to taste it and be wowed with it. It's a lot of intense pressure. And the thing about it is you know, competing is not a natural thing. A lot of people can cook good, but can you cook good under pressure? That's the biggest. That's the biggest question. Can you cook good under pressure? And a lot of people actually, you know, they slice their fingers open when it's when it's in competition because it's just the pressure intense.
I've seen that. I've seen on some of whether it's like Cutthroat Kitchen or something like that.
Oh yes, it gets pretty intense. So, but it's a lot of fun, and you put your food out there, and you expect people to love it, and it's a very good thing for personal growth.
What did you learn from your experience on Food Network Star that helps you judge in competitions?
I mean, really, I didn't learn anything there because I wasn't a judge, other than empathizing with the chefs that do it. Really, my flavor profiles has been amazing, though. After Food Network Star, I try to challenge myself even more. You know, because I used to decorate wedding cakes all day, every day, and I, even though I love to cook... I didn't push myself. I was always very comfortable with just what I knew. So now I find myself going out there and trying different ingredients and things. And my flavor, you know, taste buds has completely transformed and has changed. And things that I used to not love, I love now. For example, you know, I got to judge at the Mid-South Barbecue Festival a few weeks ago at Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. I got to judge the wing contest. And a whole other world opened up about wings. Because you go to a restaurant and you, like me, tailgating and home gating all the time, you cook your own wings and you're like, oh, this is good. But trying so many different other people's wings, and this is sweet and this is tangy and this is spicy, that to me is amazing.
It's not just all about hotter and hottest.
No, it's not. It's about flavor profile on top of flavor profile and how you layer those flavors.
Now, do you still teach classes? Do you still offer classes as far as the folks want to learn about cooking?
Oh, absolutely. I just got through... Oh, I just remembered. I did Taste of Atlanta, and then I was in Mississippi first. I still do classes. I still do cake decorating classes and grilling classes as well. While I was down in Mississippi, I actually got to go to one of the Big Green Egg dealers, and I gave a class one night on grilling and all the things, fun things you can do on the Big Green Egg. And you know, I then at my former culinary school, I got to do cake decorating classes, and it was just so amazing to go back to your old school and see that the students are just so eager to learn, and they're just so happy to be a part of, you know, the whole learning experience. So yes, I still do classes around the country. I don't know if I have anything coming up.
I just ask because I'm on your website, just kind of peeking around, and it's one of the things that says here. If folks want to see like your latest video, that's up on your website, Linky Marais, MARAIS.com. If folks, do you have a question, Joe?
No, I just want to. While you guys have been talking, I've been sampling all the food on the train.
Of course, you have.
Of course. I got to say that the salami, the wine, like you said. Like you take kind of the aroma of the wine, mm-hmm. and then kind of taste the very first cheese you have there. I don't know what type that is, but that's my favorite.
Merlot.
Yeah, the Merlot mm-hmm. cheese is mm-hmm. absolutely delicious. And I think it goes best with, not that I'm any food critic, but personally, it goes great with the salami. I think it goes perfectly with it.
Absolutely. Now, I want you to do yourself a favor.
Okay.
Sip the wine and then come back to one of the other ingredients. Maybe do the fig with a balsamic cheese and see how it changes the flavor of the wine. And that, to me, that is just fascinating, how different foods paired with different things can complement or can contrast in the flavor. There's some hot sauce right there. And that's one of the things I've been going into beers as well, because craft beer is huge right now. And the difference in how you pair food with beer and how you pair food with wine is very, very interesting.
And it complements the palate. And if you
absolutely.
But if you pick the wrong beer, the wrong wine, the wrong food, could it have an adverse effect too?
I mean, yes, I personally think so. It's either going to work or it's not going to work, usually. And there's different rules and things about that, so.
Linky, you're a New Englander now. You live in Massachusetts. You still travel around. You spent time, your years in Mississippi. You spent years in South Africa. What is your, are you a native New Englander from a food palate standpoint, or you still prefer the South, or some of your native things from South Africa?
I will say this. I've become a little bit of a New England snob when it comes to seafood. A while back, we went to a restaurant in Boston, which I won't name, and I was with friends, and this guy was, he's a surgeon, and a cardiologist surgeon, I don't know what you call him.
Cardiologist?
Sure. And he said, oh, I'm going to get the lobster bisque. And I said, you know what? He said, would you like some? And I said, I'm a little bit of a snob when it comes to that. Well, he did get the lobster bisque after he called me a snob at that point. He was like, what? I can't believe you're going to be such a snob. And he said, okay, next time I'll listen to you. Just because depending on where you are, it's changed a little bit. But I will say this. I have an appreciation for all cuisines, whether it's South African cuisine, whether it's Southern cuisine. There's something about comforting about going back to the Mississippi and having the catfish, and then coming back here and having fresh off-the-bay oysters. A while back, we went to Cape Cod, and I've never actually gone to the bay side. I always go to the outside, you know, the ocean side.
Mm.
Went to the bay side, and we walked out of, like, miles and miles. If the shore is down or the tide is down, you could walk for miles,
sure.
And there was a guy that was doing oyster farming. And I have never seen that. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but the oysters are like tiny when they get them. And I didn't realize that. And he was out there. He had his cooler. He had his hot sauce, his lemon, and his beer. And he was just out there just, you know, classing the oysters. And he was like, would you like one? I was like, what kind of a question is that? So to answer your question, I have an appreciation for all of them. It just depends on what mood I'm in, what cuisine I'm going to like.
Being someone who does a lot of stuff, and well, you live in Rhode Island, is it? Was it in
Massachusetts?
Yep. Right, Southern Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But I know you spend time in Rhode Island. You someone who likes quahogs too?
I like it all. Yes, and I actually Michelle, one of my co-stars, she runs the restaurant The Pearl in Maine during the summertime, and she makes the most amazing quahogs. I just leave it up to her. I don't mess with them. I just leave it up to her. I'm like, I'll do the mussels, steam them some white wine and butter and garlic, and you do the quahogs. So yeah,
I love stuffed quahogs.
See, I like them right out of the shell. Little hot sauce right out of the shell. Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. We just have a couple of minutes left with you, Linky. Anything we haven't touched upon but you want to make sure you talk about? I know you are a big fan of reality shows, so I don't know if you want to kill a minute or two talking about, you know, anything you've been watching as far as reality shows. You can do that, too, if you want.
Are you keeping up with Survivor?
I am.
I cannot believe that lady quit last week. Did you watch it? Yes.
Julie quitting, yeah.
What? I mean, there's some of us that...
Yeah, they voted off her famous boyfriend. And, yeah. You know, she's stealing trail mix. And, you know...
Well, I mean, the thing about these reality shows is just, you know, it's a stressful situation. You never know how you're going to react to it. And they're out there. And I can actually empathize with that. But that's one of my goals and my dreams is still to be on Survivor.
Really?
Well, I actually auditioned last year. I didn't make it.
So you did a tape.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll do it again.
How about, now, we actually had... we had somebody out for Big Brother. We had the winner of Big Brother.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he actually lives in Rhode Island, Derek Levasseur. And we talked with him.
Wow.
And it was pretty cool talking to him. I mean, being kind of, it's a challenge. I mean, you ready to be away for 39 days and kind of just.
I was. I wasn't on an island, but listen, I'm the kind of person, if I get thrown into a situation like that, I will probably be out there fishing all day, diving out some I don't know, conch shells or what. I don't think that's in the Philippines. But anyways,
you've already caught your first fish, so there's no doubt you've got your little fisherman
in you. Right? Yeah, I've got a fisherman in me, and I've got that challenging personality, so.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming in and bringing
this. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
And Kevin, I can vouch that the different tastes of cheese mixed with the stuff on the tray does change the taste of the wine.
And we want to just take a moment to thank all those veterans out there. If you have a chance, get out to an event tomorrow and remember a veteran. Say thank you to them. Happy Veterans Day. Until next week at 6:15, that's another Monday Night Talk. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Bye.
See ya.